You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner turns our attention to a November day in Dallas and the legacy of President John F. Kennedy.
Today marks the 48th anniversary of the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. For those of us old enough to remember, the exact moment we heard about that terrible day in Dallas is forever etched in our memory. It became one of those life-defining events, like the attack on Pearl Harbor, Neil Armstrong's first steps on the moon, and that awful September 11th in 2001, when the attack on the Twin Towers in New York changed our lives. Kennedy's assassination seemingly brought an abrupt end to the post-World War II illusion of happy days of Eisenhower and the unfettered strength of the Pax Americana, or the American peace. Of course, that was not exactly true. We had long experienced racial strife. The Russians had the bomb. We were drifting into the long, ugly war of Vietnam. The Russians were still attempting to strangle Berlin. And, the previous year, the world came to the closest brink possible to blowing itself back into the Stone Age with the Cuban Missile Crisis. But John Kennedy's untimely death changed America. It ushered in several years of political unrest and other assassinations, tremendous upheaval in the civil rights movement, a gigantic military buildup, broad expansions in government on every level, and a deep-seated distrust among many young people with anything to do with government. Some of his dreams did reach completion, particularly his goal to put an American on the moon before the end of the decade. The scientific fruits of that venture are still being reaped today. Think about that every time you cook with a microwave, drive a car loaded with electronics, use a calculator, or watch a television. Everything that uses advanced electronics comes out of the space program initiated by John Kennedy. Those people in government who wanted to carry on his dream are responsible, really, for life as we know it. To be honest, the Kennedy mystique, particularly after his death, shrouded problems and flaws. The Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba was an unmitigated disaster and soured any potential political fraternization with that communist island nation. The glow of what might have been draped the nation in nostalgia and reverence, blinding us to realities. The Vietnam War that he controlled became a meat grinder that took two more presidencies to end. The social engineering of the Great Frontier became Lyndon Johnson's Great Society and remained unfinished on an almost unmanageable scale. His vision was cut short before a firm guiding hand could be applied to see it through. The dashing young president and his beautiful, articulate wife came to Dallas that cold November to mend political fences in preparation of the presidential campaign of 1964. Although the Secret Service had wanted to put a bulletproof plastic bubble on the Lincoln automobile in which the Kennedys and the governor of Texas, John Connally, and his wife were riding, the president refused. He wanted to be as close to the public as possible. As the motorcade slowed down and entered Dealey Plaza on its way to the trademark for a speech, shots rang out and the 46-year-old president was mortally wounded, and the governor of Texas was grievously stricken. Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, announced the death on live television and wept. We all wondered, what now? Lyndon Johnson, the vice president, former Texas senator, took the oath of office on the plane carrying the fallen president's body back to Washington. The nation came to a grinding halt from that Friday through the weekend and culminating with his burial in Arlington National Cemetery. John Kennedy's assassination still haunts us as a nation and proves that history matters.